this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's a story from Houston, Texas. You know, I have in-laws that live there in the Houston area. You probably know there has been a lot of flooding in that area lately. Well, a Houston man is suing the cemetery where his wife was buried 8 years ago after the woman's casket rose up and out of the ground during recent floods that wreaked havoc there in Texas and was seen on TV floating through the city streets. High waters caused a coffin containing the remains of his wife to rise to the surface at Riceville Cemetery in southwest Houston. The deceased woman's husband said the cemetery told him he'd have to pay a discounted burial fee before the casket could be placed back underground. How many times do I have to pay for a funeral for my wife? He asked. Well, let me tell you, we have plenty of strange stories for you tonight. That's our specialty on this program. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Sam, the Animal Steele. Good evening, Sam.
And a fine evening to you, sir, wherever you may be.
Well, you know, I'm still here on the Isle of Enchantment in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, but not for long. Later this month, I will finally be heading back to my old stomping grounds there, WNC, Asheville, Land of the Sky. And July is going to be a very busy month, of course, culminating in my big wishing machine extravaganza there on July 19th. You'll be there, as well as a lot of VIPs like Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, who has been giving away signed photographs of herself over the past week. And I understand it has been such a huge success. The demand has been so overwhelming. Shelley, you're going to do one more printing and do this for one more week now?
I'll do it for one more week. Yes, everybody has been so nice and supportive, and so we're going to do it for another week.
Well, how flattering that must be to know that there are so many fans out there, And, of course, so many people are going to Wright's Coin Shop right now and buying. You guys are having trouble keeping things in stock.
We really are. You know that saying, birds of a feather fly together? It one person gets an idea, and then everybody gets the same idea. So when you sell something practically out or completely out at the shop, it's all one type of thing. One day it might be all gold. Another day it might be all silver bullion. Another day it might be, I don't know, Morgan dollars, or another day something else. It's funny how that is.
All right. I'm sure it has nothing to do with free signed photos of you there. You know, guys, on our last show, we were talking about all of these weird sounds that are being heard once again around Earth, trumpet-like sounds, very ominous kind of noises that might make you think that some gears are really grinding deep within the bowels of the Earth. And sure enough, the earthquake activity has continued. There was an 8.5 earthquake that shook most of Japan. They say it struck near remote Japanese islands and shook most of the country. Fortunately, it did not trigger a tsunami, but there was a tsunami warning. It seems like because it was rather remote, there were no serious injuries. There were some, but nobody died. But this was, a big shock to everybody there. And then there was a volcanic eruption that actually created new land off the coast of Japan. It created a new island in the sea about 620 miles south of Tokyo. At this point, the new island is about 660 feet in diameter. It just rose off the coast of, Nishinoshima. Okay, I got that one. A small uninhabited island there. And apparently, I have noted here, there have been also more earthquakes continuing off the coast of the U.S. So, again, I don't want to sound like a harbinger of doom or anything, but sure enough, it makes you think that maybe we are leading up to some kind of a more significant worldwide earth shift. And, just a few days ago, I went to see the movie San Andreas in 3D. And it makes you wonder when you have all these stories like this, is this some kind of a viral marketing campaign, for a new movie that's out? Well, I think it's just for them fortuitous timing, actually. But the movie, I'll just tell you, it really was a fun movie to watch. It was exactly what you would hope for out of a disaster flick. Yes, it had its kind of cheeseball dialogue and its thin, story, which I think the movie would have been better if they just cut out all the dialogue and just had nothing but big action, just, just rumble. We all know what you're expecting. But the special effects were great. It was a really fun time. I stayed engaged, and that's hard for me in a movie because I get bored easily with movies. But now, Sam, on our last program, I was talking about this thing called Charlie, that's a sinister game sweeping the world. And there are all these news reports about kids that were taking a piece of paper and two pencils and using it to try to contact some kind of a demonic spirit. And, of course, I thought it was curious. I'd never heard of this before. But you have a little update on that, don't you, Sam?
Yeah, the Mexican demon. Why do you have to be a Mexican demon?
I know. Named Charlie.
Carlos. Apparently, shortly after the challenge went viral, a lot of people speculated that the game was a hoax because they couldn't find any proof that it actually existed in that form with the pencils and the paper prior to May 2015. And it turns out it is a marketing campaign for a movie called The Gallows.
Now, don't you feel bad for getting mad at me last week because I drew you a visual and you're like, no, don't show me that, you evil. I don't remember what you called me, but it wasn't good.
No, I would rather be safe than sorry than have
right?
you bring some dark energy.
I wasn't bringing anything. I was just showing you, just so you would have a reference.
Well, why don't you just show me how to shoot heroin too, Shelley? There's certain things that we just would be better just left alone. and bringing demons into the WWN. Scotty Road Armor.
Scotty Road Armor would not approve of anything we do on the show.
Probably not.
Actually, I don't know. He might be a very, twisted guy in the closet.
Josh, if I told you about a game called Scotty.
Yeah, now, you say, okay, the movie's called The Gallows. Well, nobody's going to remember that. They should have a movie come out now called Charlie, and then everybody would go see that. So, speaking of dark, strange, weird things, in a couple of days, a brand new, very nice, high-quality book is going to be released called Only in Asheville, An Eclectic History. And the author of this book is going to be on our program tonight. Her name is Marla Hardy Milling. And let me tell you something about this book called Only in Asheville, An Eclectic History. And let me tell you how smart that Marla Hardy Milling is. She's so intelligent that in the very first chapter of the book, she featured me.
Oh, heavens.
Aww.
Isn't that brilliant? So,
yes.
Boom, she guaranteed her slot on this program. And, hey, a book called An Eclectic History of Asheville, what better place to start, right? Here's what the book is about. And, by the way, if you don't know what eclectic means, that means deriving ideas, style, or taste from a broad and diverse range of sources. So here's a description of the book. A unique blend of visionaries, risk-takers, and creative souls lends energy to Asheville's historic streets. Today, bohemian street performers, funky shops, exquisite art galleries, restaurants, and craft breweries blend in among some of the most revered vintage architecture in the country. Discover quirky figures like a nun named Sister Bad Habit, who entertains passengers on the Lazoom bus, the man in white, living statue, and Asheville's village witch. Says, be inspired by innovative dreamers such as Julian Price, who invested millions in the once desolate downtown Asheville, giving money to an eclectic mix of restaurateurs and shop owners. Author Marla Milling traces the people and places that make her hometown a truly unique city. So we're going to have her on the show, hour number two, to tell us more about why she decided to write a book like this and give us, sort of an overview of just how strange and rich Asheville's culture really is. It makes sense that she would start with, yours truly. I tell you what, guys, let's take a break. But when we come back, speaking of local things, if you're in the Asheville area, I have a story I'm going to share with you about a man who had an experience on Newfound Road in the Lester community with something ghostly. It scared him pretty badly, and he has a photograph to go with it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. and strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. All right, yeah.
From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands in the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds, and in to the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest, discussing the weirdest. Welcome back. And mind you now, this program is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can go to speakingofstrange.com to find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, as well as other cool things like the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, or even my event that I have coming up on Sunday, July 19th, Wishing Machine Extravaganza, where you get to join me and my friends and VIPs for about an eight-hour experience. We have a Wishing Machine workshop in the theater of the Asheville Masonic Temple, in the theater there, and then we are going to have a private cocktail party and then a ghost tour, and then we're going to spend some time in the museum. It's going to be great fun, and if you get your ticket right now, it's $99. Now, that is a steal. Go to speakingofstrange.com for a link, or you can go to wishingmachineproject.com, and you'll find it there as well. At speakingofstrange.com, you know, we try to give you as much visual content as possible to sort of accent the show. And I've got a photo there right now that is quite interesting. You know, I have written many, many books over the years about ghosts, and one of those books is called Pet Ghosts, Animal Encounters from Beyond the Grave. Now, the name Pet Ghost might lead you to believe that the book is really just about dogs and cats and that kind of thing, but it's a book that covers a much, much broader spectrum. It's really a book about non-human apparitions. I mean, I talk about the ghosts of insects. I talk about the ghosts of dinosaurs. I even get into areas where I talk about ghosts of creatures that may or may not even exist. Mothman, Bigfoot, you know, Loch Ness Monster, that kind of thing, cryptids. And so because of that, I have a very broad, sort of rich view when it comes to the world of the ghostly. It goes beyond just humans. I think that people probably see animal ghosts all the time. And the reason, however, reports of animal ghosts are rare is because people don't usually realize they're seeing an animal ghost when they are. They just think it's a regular, tangible animal. Because think about it. If you see a rabbit hopping across a field, well, that rabbit is going to look and behave exactly as a rabbit looked and behaved 200 years ago. But people look different over time. We change our wardrobe. And we also change our behavior and our demeanor. I mean, for example, if you look back at all these pictures taken in the 1800s and even, you know, the early 1900s, it wasn't commonplace for people to smile when they were having a photograph taken. In fact, you know, you look in their eyes and they look like weary, shattered souls. Like, you could tell these people had a hard life compared to us. Well,
wasn't part of that, like, because they had to actually sit for so long during the picture? Like, didn't the picture take several minutes that you couldn't move?
Well, the earliest photographs did, yeah. But, you know, that wasn't such a big issue as time went on and we got farther along into the 20th century. I mean, I'm not sure specifically at what point smiling became the norm in pictures.
I can imagine it would have been the advent of the washing machine. That would have put a smile on my face.
Pre-rolled tobacco cigarettes.
Toilet paper!
But that, you know, that's an interesting subject. I'd like to look more deeply into that. But, you know, getting back to the topic here, you know, animal ghosts, they look now just as they would have looked to a certain extent for hundreds or thousands of years. And so we probably see animal ghosts all the time. We don't even know it. And that's why it's rare for somebody to say, okay, I'm seeing an animal ghost, and I know I'm seeing it. And furthermore, I have an image that I think goes along with the story. Well, I have a brand new story that I'm going to break here right now. And this is due to my Facebook page. And, of course, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll be able to find a link to my Facebook page and my Twitter account. And, you know, I do as much social media as I can. It's kind of funny because I didn't even open my Facebook page originally. Mobius opened it for me years ago, and he used to manage the whole thing. But little by little, you know, I started getting on there and having input. And now, you know, he doesn't mess with it, and I do all the stuff on it. So anyway, I got a post from Brian Garrison. Now, Brian Garrison is a Facebook friend. I have thousands of them. And I don't know that I've ever met him in person. In his picture, just to give you an idea of how he presents himself, he just kind of looks like a typical country boy. He's standing there wearing a ball cap and holding a fish in his profile picture. Okay, and he posted that he had an incredible experience the morning of May 30th of this year. So we're talking May 30th, 2015. He said, he posted a picture, and the first thing he wrote was, "Ghost cow, I almost hit on Newfound Road this morning, still shook up." Now, let me pause for a minute to say that I'm very familiar with the Lester community in the Newfound area. That is the area where my mother grew up, so I have spent a lot of time out there. And so here's this photograph that he posted that showed it kind of has a night shot look to it, and it kind of appears misty or foggy, and there's kind of a dark area around the middle. But when I first looked at it, I could not see a ghost cow, and so I said, you know, I'm not seeing exactly what it is. Well, he helped me understand more of what happened to him. Apparently, he was going about 50 miles per hour down the road at 3:30 in the morning. I think he was heading to work. He said that this was on the Canton side, about 2 miles from Interstate 40. And he said all of a sudden there was a black cow standing in the middle of the road looking right at him. So here he is going 50 miles per hour. He thinks he's about to hit a black cow. He slams on the brakes. He swerves. I mean, he almost has a terrible accident. Fortunately, he did not. He looks back, and he doesn't see the cow. He got out of his car, and at that point, he still is not seeing the cow, but he knew that he saw a cow, and so he took his cell phone, and he snapped a picture. And then he got back in his car, he went on to work, and then when he looked at the picture later, he saw a black spot in the photo that approximates the shape of the cow. Now, after he explained to me that what he was thinking represented what he saw is this kind of like cow form standing broadside, I could see what he meant. And as a matter of fact, to illustrate that, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, there is a photograph that first off, we have his photograph on top. And I did enhance the contrast and sharpness a little bit to help it stand out. You can see this weird kind of black form in the middle of the road. And then there's another copy of it below in which I literally overlaid a photograph of a cow to show you what he's thinking we might be seeing in this picture. So he's not saying this is a picture of the cow as he saw it. He's saying this is what remained of it after he got out of his truck. He also wrote, he said, "This is my first ghostly experience. I've never had anything like it before. The way my headlights reacted to it," he says, "the experience of walking toward it to get the pic and then feeling like I was in serious danger for doing so kind of gave me a whole new perspective on messing with things that don't want you to." So, you know, I can't vouch for anything more than what I've told you, but... you know, when we come back, I know that Sam and Shelley have seen this picture, so I'd get some thoughts from them. And then also, I have a story I want to share with you that's pretty amazing. Scientists have succeeded in creating the first organism with what they call, quote, alien DNA. Tonight's show is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Of no turning back. Fly to fancy on a windswept field. Standing alone, my senses reel. Fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible grasp? Can I keep my eyes from the circling sky? Tongue tied and twisted, just an earthbound history.
And hosting from the center of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the ET highway. I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you may call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. Go in there over the next week, and you can also get yourself a free autographed photograph of investigator Shelley Wright. More details are at speakingofstrange.com on most of the things we discuss here, and you'll find a link there to Wright's Coin Shop. You'll also find information about my big event in Asheville on July the 19th. Of course, at my website, joshuapwarren.com, I have a gallery of strange photographs and video footage, things that I've personally selected to put on there that I think are pretty amazing. But right now, at speakingofstrange.com, you'll see this picture that we've been talking about that a guy took on Newfound Road the morning of May 30th of this year, 2015, when he thinks he saw a ghost cow. His name is Brian Garrison. And, again, you know, he thought he saw a real cow there, and he swerved, and then he got out of his truck, and, well, there was not a real cow there, but he took a picture, and there is this kind of weird black image that appeared in the middle of the picture. It's a misty-looking picture, even though he says it wasn't foggy, which is also kind of odd. And it kind of looks like a cow shape there that he may have captured. We know that cell phones, and for that matter, all digital cameras, are able to pick up frequencies, wavelengths that the human eye cannot see. And so he may have captured, you know, some kind of a remnant of a ghost cow there. And you can see this not only on speakingofstrange.com, but also a version of it that I put together with an overlay of an actual cow to give you an idea of what he's looking at. Now, Sam, you and Shelly, you have both seen this photograph. Let's start with you, Shelly. What do you think when you look at that picture?
I can sort of make it out, and I can understand that feeling of you feel like you're about to run into something, and you stop. I mean, obviously, he's grown up around here. He knows what a cow looks like. You know when you're about to run your car into something that is so solid that you swerve to miss it. And then I see something. I see something there, and I could see it being sort of a cow, but I understand, you know, things kind of dissipating and not having that original form that it did when you thought you were going to hit it. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what do you think, Sam?
I'm looking at it right now on my portable phone device.
Yes.
First off, I think it's definitely more of a ghost llama than a cow. No, but okay, if something is a ghost, right, like a person, if you see, isn't like they say a spirit. Like, it's the soul of a person, Shelley, is that right? The soul of a person has come back?
Or the essence, or, I mean, it's not always...
Does a cow have a soul or an essence? Why would a cow be back?
Who knows?
Okay, well, let me jump in here, Sam. As the guy who wrote the book How to Hunt Ghosts, let me tell you, there are ghosts of so many inanimate objects. There are ghost ships, ghost stagecoaches, ghost cars, ghost airplanes.
The Lincoln death funeral... procession.
Right.
If ghosts were only souls, then all ghosts would be naked. They're wearing clothes. They have hats. It's more than just something that is attached to the organic bioenergy. So that said,
well,
please proceed.
That said, as the moderator of ghostcow.org, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe he saw something. There's a blob. There's a blackish hue. And then, you know, he obviously seemed, you said the guy looks somewhat normal. He, you know, seemed somewhat legitimately taken aback by this thing.
We know about cows here.
There's a lot we don't know about. There's a lot that happens every day in this world, in the spirit world or in the regular world, that we don't know a lot about. So
yeah.
Who can discount anything?
Right. So we'll have the listeners who are interested go there to speakingofstrange.com, look at it, you know, come up with your own opinion. But you're right, Sam. There is so much weird stuff going on. I mean, it's almost too much. It's almost too much for us to keep up with. For example, listen to this story. Scientists have succeeded in creating the first organism with, quote, alien DNA. That's what they're calling it. Now, let me explain what this means. This is from extremetech.com, okay? Now, in normal DNA, which can be found within the genes of every known organism, the twin strands of the double helix are bonded together with four bases. And if any of you have studied genetics, you know what I'm talking about. T, G, A, and C is how they represent those. So doesn't matter what organism, the DNA has some combination of T, G, A, and C. In this new organism, the researchers added two new bases, X and Y. This is creating a new form of DNA that, as far as we know, has never occurred after billions of years of evolution on Earth or elsewhere, for that matter. They say, remarkably, the semi-synthetic alien organism continued to reproduce normally, preserving the new alien DNA during reproduction. So in the future, this breakthrough should allow for the creation of highly customized organisms, bacteria, animals, yes, even humans, that behave in weird and wonderful ways that the mundane four-base DNA would never allow. Let me give you a little bit more of an idea of what this means. Okay, there is a quote here by the guy who led the research, Floyd Romsberg, and he says, quote, "If you read a book that was written with four letters, you're not going to be able to tell many interesting stories. If you're given more letters, you can invent new words, and you can find new ways to use those words and probably tell more interesting stories," end quote. So that's a really good analogy, okay? So our DNA thus far has consisted of four letters. Now we're up to six letters. How much more can you do with that? It says here, ultimately it may even be possible to create a wholly synthetic organism with DNA that contains dozens or hundreds of different base pairs that can produce an almost infinitely complex library of amino acids. Okay, so for one thing, the benefit of this is that these extra bases, these extra chemicals, can just be used with storage. They say for now, like the XY base pair is not doing anything. It just sits there in the DNA waiting to be copied. And in this form, it could be used as biological data storage. So they say, which, as we've covered, could result in hundreds of terabytes of data being stored in a single gram of synthetic alien DNA. But once they actually get to the point where they start activating all this stuff and creating organisms, it says the organisms and creatures that would arise would be unrecognizable and be capable of just about anything that a white coat wearing maniac can dream up. The implications of that are so profound, so astounding, that when we come back after our break here, I have a story that I think just beautifully complements that story. But for now, did that make sense to what I just read, Sam?
I picked up parts of it. I'm not a physicist, a geneticist? Yes. I'm not fluent in genetics, Joshua.
Okay.
I didn't know about the four or the six.
I took it to mean that, you know, we mirror four human being conglomeration things are boring and always have been. And we'd be better with six things.
Would somebody in the audience please send me one of those T-shirts that says, "I'm surrounded by idiots"?
Hey, why don't you ask me a question about, you know, the movie Alien, and maybe I could I could do a little bit better. That's not my forte.
Fluent in that.
Dr. Warren.
Okay, well, for those of you who understood that, that we are learning how to create DNA that not only has four components but six, you're going to love this story I have when I come back. This is really going to make you dizzy with intellectual surprise. It's about the fact that we may literally be living in the Matrix. Compare that to the movie. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Well, my name's John Lee Pettymore. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting, something in your smile was so exciting, Something in my heart told me I must have you. Strangers in the night, two lonely people, we were strangers in the night. Up to the moment when we said our first hello, little did we know, love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. And ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right. For strangers in the night.
And we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you may and you should call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. And you can also go directly to WrightsCoinShop.com. That's W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com. As always, there's a link at SpeakingOfStrange.com. Coming up next hour, hour number two, well, we are going to talk with the author of the new book, Only in Asheville, An Eclectic History. Her name is Marla Hardy Milling, and we'll find out from her what she discovered, taking years to really put together the things that are most strange and esoteric and interesting about Asheville, North Carolina. It's a worldwide destination now. And, of course, she's a native of Asheville, so she has a very firmly rooted perspective. Now, last segment I was talking about these advances that are being made in DNA, which are showing us at very least that it's possible that there could be functional DNA that is composed of not just four chemicals like humans have, but maybe even hundreds of chemicals. Maybe the sky's the limit. And now here is this story that ties in an almost eerie way. NASA scientists says we may be living in a matrix-like digital imprisonment designed by aliens. So let me pause there and say, you know, the Matrix is such a classic bit of pop culture these days. It's an easy reference for a lot of these deep conversations that people get into. And so the Matrix, of course, is about the idea that we are all existing in some kind of a simulated reality. Well, this story from the eventchronicle.com goes on to say that futuristic human beings, or let me put it this way, it says futuristic beings, human or otherwise, could be using virtual reality to simulate a time in the past or recreate how their remote ancestors lived. Sound crazy? Well, it turns out NASA scientist Dr. Bostrom might be right. The standard model of physics does not yet hold an explanation for the force of gravity. Without getting too in-depth, if you make simple calculations, you'll find that there are big holes in gravity. Also, of course, there are problems with understanding dark matter. We've talked about this a lot. They say that dark matter is the most profound mystery in all of science. I am very fond of saying, as I wrote about in my upcoming book, Use the Force, that the best astrophysicists and cosmologists, some of the smartest people in the world, have told us that when you observe and document everything that we can see in the known universe, well over 95% of it consists of dark matter / dark energy, defined by the very fact that we don't know what the heck they are. And so if we don't know what over 95% of the known visible measurable universe is, well, then we may as well just say we don't know what the heck any of this is. And so what this story is proposing is that maybe the reason that we, from our perspective, look out and we have these gigantic holes in our theories, that we don't understand what you know, 95% of this is. It's just blackness that doesn't seem to adhere to any basic rules we can understand, i.e. gravity. Maybe that's because that what we are experiencing is a simulated reality. The idea that our universe, as we know it, is a fiction generated by computer code solves a number of those inconsistencies and mysteries about the cosmos. In summer of 2012, scientists at CERN observed what is now believed to be the elusive God particle, but the standard model is still as yet unable to explain all these other things, including the fact the universe is expanding at an ever-increasing speed. So ultimately they're saying, hey, is it possible that aliens, or in fact beings that were once humans, that are now so far beyond us that we can't even imagine, have created computer simulations, and in fact a computer simulated world, and plugged our tiny little minds into that, and that's what we think is reality now. Oh, wrap your mind around that and chew on that during this break. When we come back, we'll have Marla Hardy Milling, and we're going to talk about Only in Asheville, an eclectic history. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.